335-3231.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
We recently started in a new series I entitled The Kingdom of Kings. The Kingdom of Kings. Our message today is the divine design. The divine design. In Luke chapter 11, starting at verse number 2, Jesus spoke to his disciples and gave them the model for prayer. And he said unto them in verse 2 of chapter 11 in Luke, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." Focus with me, if you will, on the word or the phrase, thy kingdom come. As we started this series, our first message was royal priests. Interesting, he says, thy kingdom come. This is how we are to pray. Thy kingdom come. Now, the word kingdom there is the word in the Greek, basileia. And it means royal power, dominion, rule, and kingship. Royal power, dominion, rule, and kingship. So when we are praying, thy kingdom come, what we are saying to God is, Lord, thy royal power, dominion, rule, and kingship come. Amen. We are praying, in essence, for God's will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. But let me inform you, if I might say, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven through the church. Look at someone and say, what God is going to do, he's going to use you. Now, the concept of kingship has been a difficult concept for many to grasp, simply because when they see that God has made them a king, see, right away, you know, I can see by the spirit of people will check out when you say you are a king. And when I say king, I'm not talking gender thing here. Kings, what kings do, they rule, they reign. But the picture that many people get, especially someone not saved, you say, tell somebody out in the world that you're a king and you live in an apartment. You know, first thing they'll say is, show me something. Show me the money, or show me your palace, or show me something. Talking about you a king. But see, the word of God declares that those that are born again are kings. Now, again, this is a difficult concept for some to grasp, because what we have seen or what we have learned or what we feel is an unwarranted, let me say, concept of what a king is. First thing that strikes people's mind when you think about kings, you think about superiority. You think about, a lot of times, abuse of power. You know how a king has people's heads chopped off. You think about unearned respect, arrogance, attitude, you know, a king. But that's not the type of king we're talking about. We're talking about a kingdom of kings. We're talking about a kingdom, a basileia, that has no citizen that is not a king. Every citizen in the kingdom of God is a king. I don't care if you're broke. Hello? See, too often we are governed by the sense realm. And if you're governed by the sense realm, it's difficult for you to rise in the spirit realm. See, if you take hold of things, you must first take hold of them in the spirit. Amen. if God heals you miraculously, it's because he found faith. Sometimes God will do it just sovereignly, but when you believe, when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, she made a statement. If I may but touch him, I'll be made whole. Her faith was released, and because her faith was released, she made a demand on something in the spirit realm. That doctor, she spent all her money on doctors, had nothing left. Doctors had no cure. She was getting worse. But she made a demand, and by her faith, she touched something in the spirit realm that released healing, that virtue came into her body. So you see, if first of all, the concept of a king, you must grasp that concept in the spirit first. And when I say that, go to your word. I read this verse, I think, last when we first started this series, in Revelation 1 and 6. God has made us to be kings and priests unto God. Tell someone, I am made to be a king. Stop accepting what others try to make you be. See, life's experiences have a way of destroying esteem, destroying the image. Amen. But we have to regain the image. All right? So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is just setting us up for today's lesson. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. The word of God says here, and this is talking about you. Look at somebody and tell them they're talking about, the word's talking about you. Stop thinking about some highfalutin preacher or somebody that's rich, successful with money and that. The word is talking about you. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Nudge someone and tell them, you are a royal priesthood. We are not just priests unto God. We are a royal. That's different than just being a priest. What does it say in 1 Peter 2, 9? A royal priesthood. The word royal there is the word basileos. Remember the word kingdom in Luke chapter 11 was basilia. The word royal in 1 Peter 2, 9 is the word basileos. The root word is basilia, but basileos comes from basilia. The word means regal or kingly. You are a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood. Oftentimes when we hear the phrase King of Kings, you know, have you ever really thought about that? King of Kings is not referring to Jesus being the king of David and Solomon and Saul and different ones. That's partially it. But Jesus is the king of the kings, the New Testament kings. He is the King of Kings. Amen. Again, every citizen in the kingdom is a king. That's the only kingdom that has all kings. But it's not the type of king that is oppressive. Amen. Arrogant and power hungry. That's not the kingdom of God. So we see here, we are a royal priesthood. You are royal in the kingdom of the living God. Now, I want to take us back to the divine design. We have to go back to how God designed us. You ever had something around Christmas time or even for a birthday, or just in general had to assemble something that came in a box with a lot of screws, you know, Allen wrenches, you know, all kind of stuff, and you kind of laid it out. You say, oh, man, I've done this before. And then when you put it together, you got all kind of, you know, bolts still sitting. You say, I know these ain't extras. something wrong here. So you have to disassemble it. But if you'd have followed the instruction manual and understood the design of it, then you could have done it and put it, assembled it together properly. Amen? Well, when we understand our divine design, what God has designed you for, how God has designed you, when we understand that, then we can follow our destiny. We can understand our purpose. The late Miles Monroe said this so emphatically, so wonderfully, but if you don't understand your destiny, or if you don't, let me say, if you don't understand your purpose or the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. Amen? Some of you guys probably had the same experience, but growing up, we used to use my dad's tools a lot, even though we didn't know what they were for. And he being a mechanic, you know, working with Ford Motor Company, he had all kind of tools. And we just go in there, you know, we figure, okay, this look like it'll work. And put it on the bike and use it and end up stripping this and tearing that up, tearing the teeth out of that, you know, because we didn't understand the purpose. When you don't understand purpose, and let me tell you something, the devil has a strategy too. See, God has a purpose for the planet, and the devil has a counter purpose. He's always anti. You see, Antichrist doesn't just mean against. It means to replace. He has a plan, and he's deceived most of mankind into functioning in his plan. But God has a plan. Tell somebody, God has a plan.
God has a plan.
What I like about God's plans is God's plans cannot fail.
Amen.
Amen. They will not fail. His word will never return unto him void. It will always accomplish what he sends it to accomplish. You might not understand it all the time. As a matter of fact, unless you are God, you won't understand it all the time. You won't understand why God does some things all the time. You won't understand why you might have missed out on something that you wanted so much at one time, but you missed out on it. Why did God do that? But see, God has a plan. God has a design, and it's divine. God does everything after the counsel of his own will, not after the counsel of your will. There are things God will grant us. When we delight, he'll give us desires. But the overall plan and destiny and purpose is after his counsel. Amen. Why was I born in the family I was born in? Why was I born at the time I was born? Why was I born where I was born? Why was I born the nature or the culture? Why was I born this or that? Why was I born African American or Caucasian? Or why? God has a plan. Tell somebody, you are not an accident. You are not a coincidence.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-THANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.